Virtue works to bring spirit from a deeper depth down to a lesser depth. Virtue is part of the mixture of grace to eradicate evil. It is virtue that pulls the evil spirit down from the spirit realm in our mind to a physical level so that it can be cast out. The spirit of virtue is added to every physical healing to bring the phases of spirit down to a physical level so they can be applied to the body. In the original creation of the physical world, God used virtue to bring spirit down to a physical level to create the sun, moon, stars, earth, and everything we see. Entities called for the high calling will need virtue as part of their spiritual body. In order to be part of God's fifth dimension workforce, to finish creations God and the angels have already started, and to participate in starting new creations. In our ministry, virtue guides us on how to bring deeper depth ideas we have down to the depth or level a younger person needs in order to create within their mind. When we understand a concept and when we have been able to evaluate where our audience is at by judgment, wisdom, and other phases of spirit, then it is virtue that will help us know the words to use and the way to say things to bring it down to a level where the hearer or hearers can grasp the concept. This is what is meant in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
And it also...
To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
And that same expression, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, is repeated in verse 11, 17, and 29, and in chapter 3, verse 6, 13, 22. So what Christ states in each of those is hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In each case, it is the deeper depth of a main spirit coming down to speak to that same main spirit in a lesser depth in someone's mind to bring that main spirit on up. And the point is, this would be a work of virtue. Where the deeper spirit is, that person has that in their mind. There is then a variety of things going on, but part of it is virtue, of how to reach down to where the main spirit is in someone else. What do they need to hear? What needs to be said to them? What are the seeds? What's the substance to mix with it to get them brought up? Thus, virtue is involved in any operation of teaching, because true teaching is not just saying everything one knows, but saying it in such a way that the student will understand and learn. Even if it is track one information we are teaching, to students, co-workers, or our children, virtue can work to make a complex idea simple and to use illustrations that will help the hearer grasp the concepts. It was virtue working in Jesus' ministry to give parables to the multitudes so that they could come to understand the kingdom of God. God's creation of a world full of visible pictures for his invisible spiritual world was also a working of virtue within God's mind to make a world that he could use to teach mankind about himself. And the scripture on that is Romans 1:20.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
This shows God made a physical world to help us understand his spiritual world. If God just said, be like me, there would be no way for us to grasp that. And so he began to build a whole conceptual set of things that he could use to help us come up to where he is, get the understanding of what he is like. And part of what was involved in doing that was virtue. He had to think, how can I reach down to these creatures to get them to understand, to get them to grasp what I am, where I am, what I want them to be? Any questions about that? Seems like that may also have been one of the underused phases of spirit. We've known it was involved in healing and had an idea of it being involved in teaching, but it doesn't seem to be one that people get prayed for a whole lot when they're getting phases of spirit.
It seems like this is one of the phases that's so unique in understanding. Is there any way to know why the world got so far off in a different direction on this one. It doesn't seem like we use that word at all in our growing up education to give any semblance of that meaning.
The witness that God gave on the spirit of virtue being involved in healing was in the Gospels, where Jesus perceived that virtue went out of him. Why the King James people used that word to translate whatever that Greek idea was originally, they may have thought they were saying he was so virtuous. Don't know why they picked that particular word, why that seemed to them to express what was going on in the Greek. But it's not a word that's used a lot of places in the Scripture. It's more of a concept that's embedded in the Scripture once we know that God's got to take spirit and get it down to physical, so we can use that word for it. But yeah, in the world, virtue means to be a moral person, not letting a lot of evil spirits work.
Virtue be like actions in the sense that it would have all the face of spirit in it. To, I notice to ask grace, I think that's the word, to bring the stuff down. But like say you wanted healing or like Jesus, something left him, yeah, it would have been virtue, but would there have been a lot of different mixtures mixed with that to get to, like for our head, for God to bring things down so that we can understand it? How does that work?
Well, there may be any number of things that are being brought down, like in a physical healing. If someone was trying to heal the eyes, then of course it would take the spirit of understanding. But the thing that virtue does is it takes that understanding out of the spirit and makes it be physical so that it can work on the eye. In communication, virtue is particularly when there is an understanding here and you're starting at a much more basic level with whoever you're communicating to. If you and someone communicate a lot, you don't have to use a lot of virtue because you're pretty much on the same wavelength. But if you're trying to get something across to someone and they're just beginning on that thing, it takes a lot more virtue.
Parables, but how about creation? I mean, is that a different step I'm talking about, creating things?
It's no different than a physical healing. Again, the thing that virtue does is it takes all whatever the other phase of spirit is and pulls it to a physical level. So if it takes worship and workmanship and zeal to make a dog, God took worship and workmanship and zeal, and then he took virtue and said, let's bring it down so it's a dog. Bring it down too physical to be a dog. It takes it from a higher level down to a lower level. Whether it's communication or whether it's spirit to physical.
A simple illustration in education is that you can tell a child 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 is 4. That means nothing to the kid. But if you put 4 apples out there and say 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 is 4. They know it takes this, 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 and this to make 4. 4 ones to make 4.
And that's using a physical illustration to get across to them. Start with something they know.
God for more virtue, what we're asking for is that vehicle that will carry whatever it is that needs to be transported to someone else.
Down, yes.
Bring it down and carry it over. Sort of like, well, we said that faith is that sticky substance. It's whatever we're asking for will stick to the faith. Now, virtue is the carrier. All these new ideas came for me.
The key thing on virtue is you're having to get it from one level to another. And when you pull on virtue, that's good. But when you're actually in a situation, it takes a lot of thought to say, okay, I understand some complicated skill that I've learned. I've spent a lot of years doing it, and I'm trying to get this person started or give them an idea of what it is. There are many thought processes that go on of how to put this, and many other phases of spirit, of course, involved, but... Yes.
Taking it the higher level down to the lower level so it can be used?
Yes.
You know, I think that sometimes we don't realize, when we say take it from a higher level to a lower level, just exactly where that lower level is. We might not even realize what a higher level is compared to where they are. Where a particular person might be, what is that evaluating?
As the paper said, it's discernment, it's judgment. To some extent involves being around the person a little bit and getting a sense of where they are. Sometimes you get set up for class or discernment with someone and you've never met them before and you just have to shoot for a level and then find out whether you were way below and they're drumming their fingers or whether you were way over their head. It's mostly a matter of your experience and then using discernment and judgment and things to get the feel of where they're at.
It's when that person starts giving back to you that this would kick in to know whether you talked over their head or they're getting it. Mm-hmm. And they may have better ways to express it for their from their mind than a better by that word I mean. They take it higher than what you're giving them. Because they think of some other illustration or something and it makes it virtuous. They've got it. So that's when you find out how much virtue is working in teaching is when the person gives it back.
Sometimes it's a little confusing, the idea of higher and lower levels, because in some ways you're really just talking about changing the example. Not that an example of farming is better than an example of sowing. It's not changing the example, giving it a different kind of example that fits with that person's abilities or knowledge. And it's not, I'll make this more simple for you. you're just changing the example to something that they already understand, and therefore it makes this new idea a little bit easier to fit into something that they already understand.
Yes, you're getting it to where they're at.
That has to do with programming.
Yeah.
What is in the other person's mind, that's what they can connect with something to understand.
That same idea, I've heard it told a lot of times, when you're teaching, to bring it down so that a child can understand it. And that's good. And but then it sounds like if the students get it back higher than what you went, I don't know if that's good or bad, or could you go deeper, lower, whatever? How would you do that?
It's more like if they were able to handle everything you gave them at the level you shot at, you can try giving them a little bit more, fill it out a little bit more, maybe let out a little more detail than you were using when you first targeted where you were starting at. See if they can handle that. You want to feed them where they're at.
What Lizzie was saying, what I've been thinking about is communicating with other people, not necessarily track 3 seeds. If you have difficulty communicating with other people, I'm thinking about the intercoursing that you're speaking about. Does virtue work with that, where there's been barriers between people?
There were a number of different phases of the spirit that were mentioned as we went through as helping our communication. Interpretation to catch what they're saying, understanding to catch the sense of what they're saying, utterance to express yourself. It's not that virtue is the thing or the only thing.
Yeah, but, you know,
it's really
thought about it so much, and I realize this has been a question that was asked not too terribly long ago about the physical healing, but it's always the bringing down. But it's not like, you know, there have been times when I've asked you questions about your profession, and you brought it down where I could understand, but it was just, I didn't need a lengthy.
You really didn't want to know, did you?
I didn't want to know all your text,
that's right.
But just a segment, you know, and you could bring it across to me without the language of your field to
right.
express the idea. You communicated with me.
And the work of virtue again involves thinking about where's the other person at? According to what you know of them, have they ever heard philosophy before? Do they have any idea of what that is? And then targeting what you're saying to that. That's the virtue working. You've judged, you've discerned where they're at, what their background is, as best you know or as best you can tell by your being around them. And then you target it to where they're at. That's the virtue. You're aiming at something and trying to get it to that person in what they need to get it.
Sometimes the word bringing it down makes it sound superior, but you're really not talking superior, you're just talking in an area you may have some knowledge that is not available to the other person, it's different.
It may be more grown up, but it's not arrogant. Arrogant is, let me just stand here and say everything I know, and if you don't get it, tough for you. This is really a servant work. If we know it in a deeper depth, so we do. We started out crawling around on our knees, rubbing our faces in the floor, not knowing anything, so we've grown somewhere and we know something. But it really is a humble, serving, very unarrogant, unsuperior work to want to communicate with another person instead of just shoving a hamburger at them and saying, good luck.
It's to bring them where you are. It's not to be superior to.
And I'm trying, I think, in my mind to make a similar point that I'm not having to bring down my knowledge to be able to talk to my spouse because my spouse doesn't understand these. In other words, it's not a superior thing in certain ways. It's just different.
Yeah, it's the love to want to communicate. And one of the tools to do it is virtue. And understanding and interpretation and utterance. And
yeah.
It's not. We all know we fought for every scrap of information we got, whether it was tying our shoes or a PhD. We all know where we started. And if the other person doesn't have it, so they don't.
Just kind of on a sideline, then would virtue be a relationship kind of faith of spirit if you're working on a relationship with your brother or with your family member? Because that's the idea, to get what you're feeling to them and to open a communication line. Let them know what you're really saying, because so often misunderstandings cause a whole mess.
Right, it seems like we're, because these ideas about virtue are new to us, we're trying to attribute everything to virtue. There's many other phases of spirit that are involved in communicating, and they have been mentioned as we went throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Virtue, again, is just where something is to a certain extent developed in your mind, and you're trying to get it to someone in whose mind it is not developed. Whether we say up, down, or sideways, or depths, or...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whether it's a teenager or a husband.
Right.
I understand that God has an ability to transform from spirit to physical and also from deeper spiritual to lesser spiritual kind of thing, and, mm-hmm. and we need to develop that ability ourselves to mm-hmm. grow that phase of spirit. I feel like I would have trouble, and you know, we attach, like kind of like was mentioned over there, we attach the word virtue to it, to that phase of spirit, that ability, and I know that we are extremely limited in our communication, our language. But in trying to explain that to someone, if perchance they knew Greek and Hebrew, based on the definitions of that word, I don't get it from the definition that that word virtue means break it down, bring it down, explain it more simple.
It worked, and it got called something in Greek, and it got translated virtue by the King James people, and it was a mixture of something that was thrown into the healing. Virtue is not the word God originally used, no doubt,
right.
And the King James people probably had no idea what it was that God was trying to express. It would have taken a work of understanding to give the revelation, this is the thing you need to mix in healings to make them work. I don't know that there really is a good word in English other than the phrase, take something deeper and bring it down to lesser.
Right.
It's not a concept that has been needed in the English language.
When they look at the Jesus perceived that virtue had gone out of him, and we see it as miraculous power and might, and they say, you know, what a healing that was. You know, she's been bleeding for all these years, and wham, it worked. There was a Greek word, or a Latin, or whatever they were speaking then, and translators so many years after, who thought they knew the language, said, well, this is what that word means. Now, either they were wrong.
If you go to the word virtue and look in the dictionary, Greek dictionary, then you find the Greek word, and you find the definition.
Not this you're talking about. You're not talking about strong.
Yes, strong concordance. Uh-huh. Then the definition is what the Greek says. That's what it is. That's as close as you can get.
That's what they say the Greek word meant.
Yes. Strong. Who trusts knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, and I don't get that idea from the definition.
That's right. We don't necessarily get it from the definition. We get it from the Bible and Revelation.
The only point is it's a pretty technical idea.
Yeah.
There may not be an adequate word to express
it,
but this was where the revelation was given in the line on line of there's something needed in the healing to get it to work.
And I can see it and mix faith with it and accept that it was revelation.
And so many of these things you cannot prove to people.
Yeah.
There are things that you can prove, nine ways to Sunday, but there are things you cannot prove
right
by looking at the scriptures.
It's like in the languages, sometimes it takes three words or somebody else's one word. Or you can put in one word like somebody else is saying in three words. And so as Paul said, you became all things to all men, this is virtue.
What?
This is virtue. That's a Bible explanation of what virtue is.
I see. Instead of using the word virtue.
No.
Right.
He's just bringing down whoever he met. He got down to their level and talked on their level.
Right.
And the purpose was to bring them on up.
I looked those up a little bit ago, and the number that virtue came from, I think, is 1410. And the word that came to mind with that, with the definitions, was enabler, something that enables things to happen. So it does seem like if you trace it all the way back, the idea is there. It's just something that enables something to take place.
The original, when the revelation came across of what virtue was, it had been used in healings for years without being able to pin it down, was when there was a work going on of trying to find out what the Persian version, or Farsi is actually the word, of these different phases of spirit were. And there was much effort given into putting across what virtue is, even though there wasn't really a lot of understanding. And the response came back from this individual, it makes the change. It makes the switch, something like that. And that's what turned on the switch, that it switches spirit from spirit down to physical. So the revelation really was not given on the result of that word. It had been thrown into healings for years because it was known that that was there and virtue was involved in healing somehow. It makes the switch. It was the expression, it makes the switch, that made the light bulb come on, that's what it is.
I got that, but where'd that come from?
It was during a work session where we were trying to find out what different phases of spirit would be expressed as in the language Farsi, which is Persian.
Okay.
essentially.
That.
It was because the expression was used, it makes the switch. She said it's an enabler, and I was trying to get across the idea, yes, it makes the switch, it makes the change, the conversion.
I'm wondering where the Persian language comes in.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Talking to somebody that's Persian.
I see. Okay.
Just from the idea of a virtuous person, you really are talking about something being at a higher level that you want to meet up to? Is that not the main idea of that? A virtuous person is not everybody. They've got a higher standard. So whether or not you're talking about their standards coming out to bring you up or you trying to meet their standards, there is a level you're talking about in that word, usually, isn't it? Just from the basic looking at of that word, like that scripture of virtuous woman is hard to find, or whatever it was that Solomon said. It's not everybody that's got that standard.
If you look at it as a transformer that transforms something down, that's a very good illustration. If you know anything about electricity, there's a transformer out on the pole. If that electricity came through without that transformer, it would burn the house down, blow your toaster to pieces and so forth. So they put a transformer out there to transform it down so that you can use it. And that's what teaching and virtue and so forth is, to bring something down.
In the context of what Terry just said, the phrase that went through my mind was make certain faces of spirit practical. For example, righteousness. It's one thing to have the idea in your mind, and it's another thing to be in a situation where now righteousness is practical. I do need to give the change back to the clerk or whatever the situation might be. It brings it down to a practical, everyday example in your own life. Does virtue work in that situation too, to make it practical for us in our day-to-day living?
Well, that's not an understanding. You know that's what righteousness is. That's not bringing it down to something else, it's putting it into practice. It's obeying what you know to do.
So then it's not involved in it?
I don't know if anything is brought down. It's just putting it into practice. Sometime or other you learn what righteousness was, whether it had to be brought down, you had to grow into it or something. But when it comes to giving somebody change back that they gave you the wrong change, too much change, then that's just putting into practice what righteousness is.
So in teaching line upon line about righteousness, if we use the example of giving back change, that would be an example of using virtue.
That's it.
To make the point, when they got the witness by putting it into practice, then they get the witness.
And understanding.
And
it would be hard really to separate out a work where virtue was being used and understanding wasn't working with it. Yes, virtue and understanding. Understanding helps give examples. Virtue gets it to the level they need to hear it at.
So that's what we mean by when we teach, we need to make it applicable to the person. To make it apply, make the scriptures apply to them so they're not just up here, but they're down to the level where they can use them.
That's true. We seem to have been sowing the seed recently that we need to make all the scriptures applicable to ourselves. Just maybe to qualify that a little bit, not all of the scriptures are applicable to ourselves. If we're talking about people backsliding and what's going to happen to them when their minds get eaten up by evil angels and evil spirits, God willing, that does not apply to us. Lead us not into temptation. Help us, God. It's a good lesson. It's good to know. We may need to bear witness to that by experience and see that happen at some point, but yeah, we do. We want to make it come alive for people. What in what context is this information going to be useful? Whether it's right in your own mind, you're going to see this happen, or you're going to see this happen in deeper depths as people get judged or whatever. Yes, let people know it's going to be things they will experience either in their mind or as God moves. Make it alive. Don't make it abstract and theological and like a monk or a seminary or... This is life.
Make it so it is a moral code for a God consciousness in each individual.
Well, the scriptures were used in Revelation where it said the Spirit said to the churches, come up here. And I've been hearing a lot of teaching others, and that's good, but it's kind of wonder how God really used virtue in my head to... Once it lands in the head, does it grow to bring off? We keep bringing it on up. So,
no, there's going to be other things that make it grow once it's in your mind. That's patience. That's strength. That's pulling on phases of spirit. That's working it that makes it grow in your mind.
So the virtue does what?
Gets it from the level it's at in the person doing the sowing to the target. It is the work that brings it down to the target. Now, once it's hit its target, there's other things that need to happen to it to make it grow.
So the account you pull on in your head is to help you get it from your head to somebody else's head when you teach.
My God got it to our head, and he done it so smoothly that... It's kind of like, how did you do that?
With some of us, it was smooth.
Well, I mean, it's like growing. You don't see yourself growing.
And you don't always necessarily recognize virtue when it's working toward you. Where you're apt to witness it is when you see a ministry dealing with someone and you think, man, how that got put so that that person could grasp that. As far as experiencing it or seeing it in action, you're going to see it happening when you see a minister dealing with someone or start feeling it in your own head as you start thinking about what does it mean to be a teacher and what does it mean to be a minister and where is this person at and what do they need? You can start seeing it working in your own head.
When we talk about virtue as a transformer, are we going to have any application of that going in the reverse? Like Jesus coming... His body being transformed up, or is that going to be a different work? Or I know this, we're not on the physical side all that much yet, but in anticipation.
Patience is what makes things grow from a lesser depth to a deeper depth, among other things. Miracle power is what makes things happen fast. Might is part of the, again, if you're trying to get something to grow up and you want to do it speedily. There's a number of different phases of spirit in miracle power, but as far as one kind of thing, patience is what makes things go up fast, speeds things up.
Oh, yeah. My thought came through a while ago, like with chemistry, how you have a catalyst that you can mix in two chemicals and kind of make the reaction happen faster, but then I get to think more. That sounds a lot like anointing. And that kind of made me wonder, what is the difference between a faith and spirit like anointing and virtue?
When you were saying that about a catalyst to make something happen faster, that's like patience to make things grow quicker. Anointing is to make things smooth, to make them receivable, to help them be greased so that they go right into that other person's eardrum and he gets a witness on it. Virtue, again, is bringing it from a more complicated or deeper depth down to a lesser depth, and they might work together a lot. An anointed preaching gift that really hits the mark would have some virtue in it.
They sound very intertwined.
There are many such things that are involved in communication, never just one thing.
Similar to what Dickie asked, does virtue work the other way in bringing somebody up? Like when Christ in Matthew 5 is talking about what the law says this, and then he applies something deeper. Does virtue help accelerate, like even Paul coming down, the Lord is saying, descending from heaven and then bring somebody up. Does virtue work that way also in the reverse? Or is that understanding and faith in the head that's presenting it to bring someone up?
It was Jesus using the virtue to get it to them, but then whatever took place in their heads to make them come up would have been other things. But yes, he's got this deeper depth, and he speaks it down to them, and the very act of that happening, if they receive it, is going to start bringing them up. But it's the virtue is actually what's going from him to them to get it there.
Would a funnel be a right visible in the aspect of having a lot of information and being able to make it more finite and hit the spot?
Similar to the question asked earlier, it would be like saying, what's philosophy all about?
Well, the thought was, yes, there's a lot of information, and you right. not only just give them a little bit at the end of the funnel, but I could be off, too, and I'd have to get my funnel directed toward the individual I'm talking to. So to learn to not only break it down, but to aim right for that particular person.
One question back here.
You don't want to just spray out.
When we use virtue, or somebody uses virtue in teaching us, then that virtue is really getting planted in our mind so that we'll be able to bring things down to that particular level.
Yes, and the ways they use to express it plant in our mind, and they become material for our ministry to use when we need to be expressing it to someone else. Yes. The worst case of non-virtue is if you think about some of the worst teachers you had when you went to school, and they were just running their mouths, and it was not hitting any target at all. They were just standing up there saying everything they knew, and you were supposed to get it out of that. They were not thinking about teaching as an enterprise to get it to the audience.
Like what Jesus said, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you need to do that to have life in you. And that would have been, the words had virtue in them. I mean, it was the same words, but that depth of spirit was being spoken so that they had to, would it?
The work of virtue in that would be taking something they did understand, eating and drinking, and saying, okay, you know what that means. That's really what's going on here in the spirit realm. That would have been the virtue involved, the fact that he could use an illustration they understood where they were at to explain something really very much deeper, get words and spirit in your mind.
We can pull on faith in the spirit for other people. Is virtue something we can pull on for someone like a teacher?
Or you can just pull on more understanding for yourself. They would have to be open to using it for it to happen and make much of an effect in them.
It just seems like, I guess for my head, a practical everyday example is like medical terminology as opposed to layman's terms.
Yeah.
You know, I can give it a big elaborate this and that, or you can break it down to what they know.
Yes. The doctors and the nurse practitioners and people that can get it across to you, that's such a gift. And there's, you really feel the difference between someone that's got it and someone that just runs in there and dumps a bunch of terminology and they're off. Many other things lacking in that case too. Yeah, that is.
Said that he shortened the days, or the days would be shortened. Is that because of the depth and the spirit of virtue that would be in the ministry?
It would be because of many things. Germination in the ministry makes it easier for each subsequent generation to get it. The fact that one person understands it makes it a lot easier for the next guy to understand it. There are many things involved in that, not just virtue.
Let's move on.
Okay, the next one is wisdom. Moving right along.
I noticed you mentioned there weren't many scriptural references with virtue, except I can think of virtue as son.
They use the word, uh-huh.
Right. Is that the only one?
There are others that use the word virtue, but they usually mean it in the sense of being a morally good person. Okay, wisdom. Wisdom.